ஸ்ரீ கணேசாய நமஹ, ஸ்ரீ சரஸ்வத்யை நமஹ, ஸ்ரீ சத்குருப்யோ நமஹ. சமஸ்த ஜன கல்யாணே நிரதம் கருணாமயம் நமாமி சின்மயம் தேவம் சத்குரும் ப்ரஹ்மவித்வரம். மனோஜவம் மாருததுல்யவேகம் ஜிதேந்திரியம் புத்திமதாம் வரிஷ்டம் வாதாத்மஜம் வானரயூதமுக்யம் ஸ்ரீராமதூதம் சிரசா நமாமி. சந்தோஷிணீ ஜெகன்மாதா மம சௌபாக்யவ்ருத்தயே நமஸ்கரோமி பக்த்யா த்வாம் ப்ரசன்னா வரதா பவ. சங்கரம் சங்கராச்சாரியம் கேசவம் பாதராயணம் சூத்ரபாஷ்ய க்ருதௌ வந்தே பகவந்தௌ புனப்புனஃ. ஓம் நமோ பிரணவார்த்தாய சுத்த ஞானைகமூர்த்தயே நன்மலாய பிரசாந்தாய தட்சிணாமூர்த்தயே நமஹ. மூக்கம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கம் லங்கயதே கிரிம் யத் க்ருபாதமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம். சச்சிதானந்த ரூபாய விஸ்வோத்பத்யாதி ஹேதவே தாபத்ரய விநாசாய ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ணாய வயம் நமஹ. இன் சாந்தோக்கிய உபனிஷத், திஸ் உபனிஷத் இஸ் ஒன் ஆஃப் த மோஸ்ட் பியூட்டிஃபுல் உபனிஷத் வேர் தத்துவமசி மகாவாக்கியா இஸ் கிவன். தெர் இஸ் எ ஸ்டோரி. This Upanishad is very peculiar that five chapters are only Upasanas. So in one of the chapters there is a beautiful story. In Satya Yuga there are four Yugas: Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga. In Satya Yuga the Devas and Asuras, they were living far away, apart from each other. Devas were in heaven, gods were in heaven, asuras, demons were in Patala, far away. They kept a very good distance. Now and then they attack each other, but it was not that severe problem. But when it came to Treta Yugam, the asuras came closer. They were in two different continents. Like Bhagavan Ramchandra Ji was in Bharat, Ravana was in Lanka. Two different continents. When it came to Dwapara Yuga, they were in the same family, still closer. Like Bhagavan Krishna and his uncle Kamsa, and Pandavas and Kauravas, they were family, cousins. Now Upanishad says in Kali Yuga now it is worst. Closer. Why? It is in your own mind. Both Asura and Devatas and Asuras, both are in our own mind. Come very closer, and therefore it is very important that we study Bhagavad Gita, because Bhagavad Gita is one that is a dialogue between the Lord and the Jiva, that is human being. And this dialogue is very important because The problem is here within us. Unless we know how to handle it, it will become an overpowering problem. Hence, study of Gita is very important in Kali Yuga, especially when we know that these asuras are much more than the number that devas we have in thought-wise. So mind means what? Thoughts. Asuric thoughts and daivik thoughts. These are the divine thoughts are also, but divine thoughts are very few, but asuric thoughts are much more. And this Bhagavad Gita is divided into three shatkams. Shatkam means a group of six chapters. So Prathama Shatkam is chapter 1 through 6. Then Madhyama Shatkam is from 7 through 12. Then Charama Shatkam is from 13th chapter to 18 chapters. So we are going to take the beginning of the Charama Shatkam, that is 13th chapter. The first six chapters, there were three main topics discussed. One is, what is Jiva Swarupa? What is the nature of Jiva, that is all of us? What is our real nature? Then the topic was, what is Karma Yoga? How to purify our mind so that we will be able to appreciate what is behind our own ego. So this purification is like impurities are in the form of likes and dislikes. So unless those are neutralized, we will not be able to appreciate the truth. So therefore, Karma Yoga was the second topic. The third one is Purushartha, self-effort. Uddhare, that sixth chapter Bhagavan talked about it. Uddhare Atman Atmanam Atmanam Avasadayet Atmaiva Hyatmano Banduhu Atmaiva Ripuratmanaha. Lift yourself by yourself. It is Vedanta is not a fatalistic philosophy that everything is prarabdha, that I have nothing, you cannot do anything. You resign yourself to prarabdha and live like a vegetable. No, that is not Vedanta teach. Live dynamically. Use your willpower. You are the one who created your prarabdha, previous lives, but you should have the choice to change it. This ability to change, one should use it and utilize it. So this topic was also discussed, and finally Bhagavan concluded, through meditation, dhyana, one can appreciate one's own. We will get an insight into one's own real nature, that is Paramatma. Then Bhagavan entered into the second shatka, that is Madhyama Shatkam, that is seventh chapter. What is the nature of Ishvara was revealed in the seventh chapter. Because one cannot be sitting in meditation all the time, but one has to open his eyes and live in this world, mingle with this world, interact with this world. So what should be his attitude? How he will be able to keep that attitude so that he will not lose sight of Bhagavan? That was the topics. That's why where Bhagavan talked about it, the rasoham apsu saunteya prabhasmi sashisuryayoho pranavasarva vedeshu shabdakke paurusham nushu ityadi. That the sapidity in water I am, and the malleability in the gold. So whatever that is, the essence of everything, I am that the Paramatma behind everything. So Bhagavan described, enumerated elaborately. Then you see, what is Upasana? So Upasana was given. So giving the 11th chapter, the form, the universal form of Bhagavan to Arjuna, showing he himself is the entire creation. So either you can take a particular form or you can think of that universal form. And then the third topic was Ishwara Kripa. Bhagavat Kripa is very important. The blessings of Lord is very important, because sometimes we think that Vedantins, they are not bhaktas. Actually, Vedantins, most of the greatest Vedantins were great bhaktas. Shankaracharya himself was a wonderful bhakta, because when he wrote the Sivananda Lahiri, Saundarya Lahiri, etc., it is so beautiful that you will see a different Shankaracharya there. When he is arguing with his opponent in the Brahma Sutra Bhashya and all that, you can see the hair-splitting argument and untiring intellect. But here, when it comes to describing the beauty of Devi or Bhagwan Shivji, you can see that melted mind, which is melted in devotion, you can see in Bhagwan Shankaracharya. So they all, Advaita Acharya, Madhusudana Saraswati, and other, even for our Gurudev himself, was a great devotee of Rama. So you cannot say Vedantins were not bhaktas. They always understood the meaning of Bhagavat Kripa. So that is the Bhagavat Kripa. That's why in Upanishad also, there is a Shantipada, invoking the grace of Lord. All the time it is there before they started their discussion. So then the Madhyama Shatka is also completed with that, these three topics. And then that's why you see the 12th chapter Bhakti Yoga was naturally given. Then now the 13th chapter is the turning point, where the Jiva Ishwara Aikya is given. What is the connection between individual and the total? This is the Bhavatidhal Tattvamasi Mahavakya is divided into these three sections. See, the first six chapters, Tum Padartha Shodhanam is given. That is, what is the meaning of you? Each one of us, we say I. What exactly the meaning of I was revealed in the first six chapters. Then the second six chapters, what is the meaning of that? That means the Lord. What is his nature was revealed. And then what is the connection between the two? I and the Lord. What is the connection? Is that called Jiva Ishwara Aikyam is given in the 13th chapter onwards. The 13th chapter itself, you can see the connection Bhagavan immediately gives. The Mahavakya is already there in a different form. You can see that. And then the second topic of the Charama Shatkam is the Jnana Yoga. What is Jnana? Because one can know the truth only through knowledge. Because problem is ignorance. Unless ignorance is removed, there is no way one can gain moksha. And ignorance can go only through the arrival of knowledge. So Jnana Yoga is very beautifully given in the Charama Shatka, the 15th chapter, 18th chapter, and you will see in 13th chapter also, those topics are very well discussed. And the third topic in this Charama Shatka is values. So those values are necessary. Unless our mind is nobler, the noblest thing is Bhagavan, one will not be able to appreciate him. So unless our mind is made pure with a disciplined life of nobility, one will not be able to appreciate the truth. So that part is also in the 13th chapter itself. Bhagavan gives 20 values. And then afterwards, 14th chapter you will see, 15th chapter also you will see, 16, 17, and 17 and 18, a lot of values are given. So all these values are very important, because our energy level, mind is filled with energy because it is directly connected to the Lord, infinite. So mind is resting in Bhagavan, but still we should be able to appreciate, we should be able to tap the source that is infinite. But we are not able to because of our diversion, our distortion, our dissipation of energy in the wrong channel of thinking. Therefore, unless we know how to seal those wastage, we will not be able to tap that infinite source of energy. So this is what the value means, that is what is the meaning. Now, with this introduction, we should start the 13th chapter. In our book, I think Swamiji's book, there is a Arjuna Vacha. In original book which Shankaracharya had, he starts with Bhagavan Vacha there. And in Mahabharata also, Bhagavad Gita comes in Mahabharata. So there also, there is no Arjuna Vacha. But it is believed that somebody has very beautifully added this to the interpolation. It must have happened between 8th century and 21st century because, 20th century, because Shankara's time it was not there. But it is very intelligently done. Without this verse, we will not be able to make head and tail of this 13th chapter, because 13th chapter, the topic development is also like that. Suddenly Bhagavan talks about Kshetra and then Kshetrajna very briefly. Then he goes to Jnanam and then afterwards Neyam. Then suddenly he comes Prakriti Purusha. Then finally he'll come back to Kshetrajna. So there is a zigzag movement. So it is not like consistent. We may think that it's not consistent, but there is a purpose for it. So one may get confused also. Why? Suddenly when Bhagavan stopped at 12th chapter, then in the 12th chapter Bhagavan talked about who is my greatest bhakta. Then from there suddenly jumping into a topic that is Kshetra and Kshetrajna, it is not like a logical development. So unless we have some help, so that must be the reason why the Mahatma who wrote this verse, he must have thought this is very appropriate. Without this verse, we will not be able to organize our thinking. We will not be able to appreciate Bhagavan's thoughts. That may be one other reason. Another reason somebody said, you see, in our country, we don't stop at zero, you know, the round figure. Suppose you want to give donation, you will not give $100. We will give only 101. In Andhra and other places, 160. So that is the number they use. So, and sarasara, other places, you know, sekada hote, sometime 118, 120. You know, people who buy 100 mangoes, that person who is selling mango, he will not give only 100. He will give some more extra. Why? So that you will keep buying. That is idea. That is his idea. So the person who is giving donation also, he will not stop at 100. 101 means I want to give more, I will continue to give later. This is the idea. So here also, otherwise if this verse was not there, it would have been only a 700 verse. Like Saptasati, you know, our Durga Saptasati is there, like 700 verses. So here also, Bhagavad Gita is also like Saptasati, because this is like Durga. And she is killing the Mahishasura. Mahishasura is our tamasic mind. So destroying the tamasic. Tamasic means what? Ego, ahankara. So ahankara comes from tamas only. So that ahankara is to be destroyed. How it can be destroyed? Only through the study of Bhagavad Gita. So she is also, Bhagavad Gita also considered like Durga Devi. So that may be another reason he added that. Now 13 number is also, people don't like it in America and all that. It is considered very inauspicious. But in our country, it is considered very auspicious. Sarvasiddhim Trayodashyam, it is said. So, Trayodashi, 13 number is considered very good and auspicious. So not only that, in 13 chapter Bhagavad Gita, it is a very beautiful chapter and difficult chapter also. It is not that easy. So, but at the same time, everything is given there. All that you want to know, it is there. The connection between Jiva, Ishvara, and values are there. What is Prakriti, Purusha, what is Jnanam, Jnayam, etc. All of them are given very beautifully. So, we will see now. We'll chant. Arjuna Uvacha. Prakritim Purusham Chaiva. Chetram Chetratnyameva Cha. Etat Veti Tumichami. Jnanam Jneyam Cha Keshava. So Arjuna Vacha, Arjuna said, Prakritim Purusham Chaiva. Prakriti, Purusha. Prakriti means matter. Purusha means spirit. This is the Sankhyan philosophy. They use this particular term. Prakriti, Purusha. Chaiva, Chetram, Chetratnya. Kshetra means field, and Kshetratnya means knower of the field. Kshetram Kshetratnya mevacha. Etat veditum icchami. So Arjuna says, I am interested to know this. Icchami, I wish to know these jnanam jnayam cha keshava. And what is jnanam, knowledge, jnayam, that one who should know, ought to know. What is that thing to be known in our life? So whatever knowledge that we gain is not completely satisfying. What is that knowledge, knowing which everything is known, is the jnayam vastu. So these Now these three pairs of opposite you cannot say, but they are the pairs. And Arjuna is asking, how I want to know, I wish to know. And why he is asking? Because these terms Bhagavan has used during his discourse. From the chapter 2 onwards till 12, Bhagavan has used these words. Many places, Kshetra, Kshetratnya, and Jnanam, Jnayam, Purusha, Prakriti, these terms he has used. So Arjuna is picking those words and say, I need clarification. So it looks like Arjuna was listening very nicely and suddenly become very wise. And to ask such question also, you should have thought of it very well. That Arjuna would not have asked that question. That's why it is said it's an interpolation. It is somebody has added it. But whatever it is good for us to think properly. Now, these are technical terms. It's called Paribhasha Shabdas. So Paribhashika Shabdas, in Sanskrit we say, but in English we'll say jargon. So technical terms are there. So in every science there are technical terms. We use that. So inflation, you know, we say in economics, so inflation, it is not an inflated tire. That is different, but the inflation literal meaning is different, but that is used in a different context, the meaning is different. Like that, every science has got different technical terms, but here also in philosophy, these are technical terms. Arjuna want clarification. Now, Bhagavan is answering that. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Idam
Shariram Kaunteya. Kshetramityabhidhiyate. Etadyo vettitam prahuh. Kshetrajna iti tadvidaha. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Bhagavan said, Idam Shariram Kaunteya. He Kaunteya. Bhagavan addresses Arjuna different time, different name. It is appropriately. If you look at it, all of them are very appropriate to the occasion. So Kaunteya means son of Kunti. Now Kunti means what? Kuntam means sharp-edged weapon. Kuntam, you know, spear. Called Kuntam. So, the Kunti means the one whose intellect is very sharp. And if you are born to that Kunti, you should also be that sharp. That is the point. So, Bhagavan is reminding him that, hey, you are born of that Kunti Devi, who is my aunt. Therefore, you should also be equally intelligent. He Kaunteya, invoking his intellectual capacity in Arjuna, Bhagavan is giving this 13th chapter. So, Idam Shariram, He Kaunteya. Idam Shabda means this body, Shariram. Shariram means what? Body, one meaning, simple meaning. Another meaning, shiryamanas subhavatvat shariraha. That which is subject to decay, disease, death, is subject to slowly, even if you don't do anything, it will destroy by itself. It is something like, because it is a karma phala, body is given to you as a result of your karma. Since it is a karma phala, phala means what? Fruit. Fruit is always like that. What is that? Even if you keep it without doing anything, it will automatically become bad, isn't it? So the same way, perishable. So body is also being the result of an action, it is perishable. So it is there for some time. It was there. I mean, it is born at a particular time. It exists at a given time and it disappears also at another time. So, idam shariram he Kaunteya kshetram iti abhidiyate. Abhidiyate means it is called kshetram iti. It is this shariram is called kshetra. Kshetra, Bhagavan gives many meaning here, Shankaracharya. Is it chatatranat, chayat, charanat, chetravatva, asmin karma phala nishpattehe chetram iti. Chatatranat means that which protects from injury. The body is a shield that protects you from getting so much of injury, like a, you know, like a car, you know. Car body is what? It protects you. That also, there are certain cars like Volvo, you know, BMW and all that. It is like a patent tank on the road. And you drive that car, somebody come and hit you, they get hurt, not you. So the body protects you most of the time. Even if you meet with an accident, the car may get total, but you get, nothing happens to you. So, that body protects the person. The same way here also, our body also protects us from many injuries, damages. Therefore, it is called Kshetra. That is one meaning. Another is the it perishes chayat. So like shariram, chayat, it perishes or disintegrates. So this body is made up of five elements, panchabhutas, akasha, vayu, agni, apa, prithvi. So all of us, we are occupying space. Open your mouth also, there is space. Stomach also, there is space. So space is there. Some of them said head also, there is space. So fine, but space is there, we are utilizing the space. But then the next one is vayu. We are breathing in and breathing out. So this is pranavayu. So vayu Bhagavan is also there with us. Then agni, temperature. So temperature is maintained at certain level. So agni, amsha, is also with us. Then water. Water is the one that gives you shape, it is. The shape of your body is water. If you are dehydrated, what happens? You become a packet of powder. So Mr. Iyer become a packet. Why? No water. So water is very important for the shariram. Then minerals, calcium, phosphorus, etc. Those minerals that is from earth. So the bhumi tattva, jala tattva, then the agni tattvam, vayu tattvam, akasha tattvam, all these are there in our physical body. We have borrowed it from the five elements and we are using it for some time. And when our use is over, we have to return it. So it disintegrates means what? We have to return it. You cannot take anything from here. And the immigration department is very strict. There is no smuggling and all that. You can bribe somebody there and all that. Now, those kind of things are not possible. I can take this body, then go to heaven. Yeah, there was a Trishangu was there. He said, he argued. He said, all the punya karmas, Ashwamedha Yaga, etc. was performed by this body only. So this body should get the benefit. Suppose I lose this body and go with another body, what is the use? I don't know whether I am enjoying or suffering. I have no idea. So he argued with the Guru. Guru said, it is not possible. Then Vishwamitra helped him to go there. But when they went to the gate with the body, all the devatas closed their nose because the human smell is intolerable for them. That's why devatas appear before you, they stand very far, far away. And also 3 seconds only they stand, because more than that they cannot take it. And they say, come on, tell me what you want. And immediately, tadastu, they will go. It is believed that way. So Trishanku was thrown out. So we have to return it. So that way it is called the chata, chayad, charanat. And the chayad or charanat, both are same. Chetravatva asmin karmaphala nishpatte. Now another meaning is field of experience, chetram. Field where we cultivate agriculture, like paddy or something like that. Seeds are sown and then we cultivate. So that is called chetra. Hindi mein kahte hai na, kheti. So that is chetra. Now, Bhagavan compares that with chetravat asmin karma phala nishpatte chetram iti. So this body is also like a kshetra, because karma phalas means punyas or papas, and they themselves are not able to give you sukham or dukham. See, karma phalas, they either give you sukham or dukham, but karma phala by itself has no capacity to give you, unless we have a body. Without the body, we cannot either enjoy or suffer. So, like the kheti, like the kshetra, how when the seeds are sown and it will sprout and become a seedling and then afterwards it become a paddy field, etc. The same way, the seeds of karmas, where it get fructified and matures and give you the result either in the form of enjoyment or suffering is this body. So in that respect also, it is called body, I mean, shariram kshetraha. So, idam shariram kaunteya kshetramiti abhidiyate. Edatyo vetitam prahu kshetratnya iti tadvidaha. He who knows this body, the knower of this kshetra. Knower of this kshetra means this body, the simple meaning that knower of this physical body. He is called kshetratnya, knower of kshetra. Now here Bhagavan has used the word idam shabda. Now idam means this body. Now this idam has got only two letters in Sanskritam, but then that two letters got most wonderful meanings are there. I mean, the implications are much more. It may look very simple. Now, this means this body means body includes the entire creation. So, whatever that idam shabda includes, idam shabda can include the entire world. This world, you can say, idam jagat, this world, this body, this world. And when you go to heaven, what is that? This heaven. That also become this heaven. And when you go to hell, that hell also become this hell. Suppose you go to Brahmaloka, that also become this Brahmaloka, isn't it? So all of them become objective world of perception. So this world means what? That which can see and perceive other than you. Experiential as this. The moment you know I know, that means what? It is coming under this, idam jagat. Now, do you know your body? Yes, I know my body. That is the problem. Sometime I like it, sometime I don't like it. And I have little fat around me. I have conquered the space dexterously around my stomach. So, but then when I see a person who has got better stomach, then I feel good. Not bad, I feel wonderful. But whenever I see a thinner guy, then I feel miserable. So these are all comparative degree, that is all. So how you feel good, then you should be always with those people. Then you feel always happy. So, this body conditions are known to me, tall, short, white, fair. And this Indian people, what they say? Wheatish color. Yeah. So that is color, whatever be the color. So, generally the matrimonials and all that you read, it is all wheatish color preferred. You know, like that, they write. All that qualification is given. The girl should be this and all that. Then finally there will be a line. That wheatish color preferred. I don't know what it is. Anyway, so this condition of the body is known to us. That is idam shariram. The same way our emotions are also known to us. This mind of mine, you know, they will say that. My mind is no good. Today is in a good mood, bad mood, or it is dull mood. All these moods are also known to us. So the mind also become idam. This world, it part of this world. Then our intellect also is part of this world. Because ideas, ideologies, all those things are known to you. That's why it is my idea, you say. How do you know? because I know. So means what? It also coming under this world. And your vasanas, your impressions that you have collected past life, your vasanas also known to you. What is there? And it unmanifest you don't know, but manifest you know. What is there stored in the subconscious, we have no idea. But once it come out, you know. So vasanas also known to you. I have this weakness, I don't have this weakness. I like this, I don't like this. All these are all result of our own vasanas. Then our ego, up to ego, is this world, okay? Ego is also known to you. Not always. If you know always, you are a great person. But now and then, we come to know. We regret. I was egoistic. I should not have become very proud. So this thought comes to us once in a way. That means what? You are recognizing your own egoistic expression. That means ego is also a known object, as it were. So up to ego is idam shariram. So the entire creation, along with our body, mind, intellect, vasanas, and PFT, perceiver, feeler, thinker, is this kshetra. Bhagavan is going to tell that later. So the kshetra, the word, includes the entire creation. And who is the knower? There is one who knows. There is somebody who is sitting there and knowing everything. What? My body, my mind, my intellect, my vasanas, my ego. The one who knows this is called Aham. In Sanskritam, Aham. This Aham Shabda is very beautiful Shabda, Sanskritam, which is universal. There it has no gender. Whether you are a woman or a man, both of you have to say I, isn't it? Everybody has to say I. And there is no religious bar also. Whether you are a Christian or a Muslim or a Hindu or whatever be your religion, you have to say I. There is no Hindu I, Muslim I separately, no. I is the same. Then there is no nationality also. It is not an Indian I, American I, no. I is common. And that which is common in all of us, very little we know. And at the same time, we use it profusely. In fact, without using that, we can't even make a sentence. But at the same time, we are totally ignorant about its nature. That's why in Sanskritam also, the first letter we start with A. A means the sound come from the guttural. Open your mouth and say A. Ha also the same throat. Akuha visarjaniyanam kantaha. So throat only, guttural. The throat only has to come. So, A and Ha. So, our Aksharamala also start with A and end with Ha. A, A, E, E, U, U. Then, Kakha, Gangha, Nga, Papha, Yara, Lava, Shasha, Sa, Ha. Now, you open your mouth and said, Aha.
You can't keep the mouth open all the time. You have to close the mouth also. When you close the mouth, what happened? Makara comes. Aham. That means what? The entire alphabet is covered with this aham. Entire alphabet means what? Alphabet makes words. Words make sentences. The sentences are the one that gives you knowledge. So the entire gamut of knowledge that is possible to acquire in this world with your intellect is pointing towards that. No aham. So that knower is called aham. Now, let us see what Bhagavan says. Continuing. Chetratnyam chapi mam vidhi. Sarvakshetreshu Bharata. Chetra Chetratnyayor Jnanam. Yattat Jnanam Matam Mama. Now, Arjuna, have you understood what is Chetra and Chetratnya? Chetra means the field of experience. Chetratnya means knower of the field. So there is a body, and the one who knows the body is called Chetratnya. Body is called Chetra, and the knower of the body is called Chetratnya. Understood? It's very simple, not very difficult. Bhagavan says, no, now listen. Chetratnyam chapi mam vidhi. Arjuna felt what? There is a body, and the knower of the body is what? I. Means Arjuna. I am the knower. Everybody has to say, I am the knower. So Arjuna felt, yes, my body, I am the knower. Bhagavan said, you are mistaken. Chetratnyam chapi mam vidhi. Arjuna, understand. Sarvakshetreshu Bharata. In all kshetras, all bodies, the knower is myself. Means the Lord. Arjuna asked, what Bhagavan? We don't have space there. You and me, how can both do be the knower? If you are there, how can I be there? If I am there, how can you be there? If both of us are there, knowers, I think that is why they say split personality and all that, double personality. Because sometimes you are functioning, sometimes I am functioning, so there will be always lower and higher problems. Maybe that is what it is. Bhagavan said, no, I am the knower in all bodies. Now that is totally displacing Arjuna. He thought that I am the knower. And that I is me, who is the knower of this body. Because whenever you say the condition of the body, who knows? I know. And the condition of the mind, who knows? I know. Like this, we are accepting that the knower is myself. But here, Bhagavan says, the real knower is, I am the Lord. Now, Arjuna, the Shankaracharya has written a long commentary for this. Okay. Most beautiful commentary. I'm not going to go through all that because that needs a lot of time. We have only 5 days. But I'll summarize and tell you. Arjuna says, if you are the knower in all the kshetras, Kshetra here means body. Okay, we can understand simple way. In all the bodies, not only human body, in all animal body, reptiles, insects, including mosquito body. Bhagavan is knower. Don't think that mosquito doesn't know. He tried to bite you. At that time you try to catch. And you don't catch that mosquito, you escapes it. And you can see the mosquito smiling. Waha. He is very happy that you escaped. You could not catch me. Ungli dikhate ho. See, if you are the Kshetrajna in all the physical bodies, including trees, plants, all living beings, then Bhagavan, I sympathize with you. One body, I am the knower, I suffer. Gastrointestinal problem, blood pressure, diabetes. What all problem we have? Nowadays they are finding out new problems, which we never heard before. New medicines are discovered, new cures are discovered, new diseases are being discovered now. It is endless. So if you are the knower of all these kshetras, what will be your lot? Bhagavan, I sympathize with you. So therefore, I don't think you are the knower of all field. But Bhagavan insists, yes, I am the knower of all the kshetras. Sankhyan philosophy, they say that every body, separate jiva is there. Separate jiva means separate knower. So, I am the knower of my body, it's like that, you are the knower of your body, it is separate entity. Their argument is that, suppose if it is one common thing, then one person realizes the truth, let us say. Everybody should realize. Then you don't have to worry. Let somebody, my neighbor, encourage him. Usko bhi paisa bhi dena, jaake Himalaya mein jaake zara meditate karke aa jana. We will encourage a few people so that, you know, let him do our work. So ghar mein baith ke kaam ho jate hain. While cooking your dal, you suddenly realize, because that person realized. That is their argument. No, Vedanta says it's not necessary. See, electricity is common in all bulbs. I think Shankaracharya's time, the electricity was not there. Otherwise, he could have used that example. He used only with pot and mud and clay and the snake and rope. That is the only example he could get those days. But with that he explained everything very wonderfully. But nowadays we have but wonderful examples. Now, one electricity is illumining thousands of electrical equipments. Not only bulbs, but fans and TV and radio and heater and air condition. All these equipments are being illumined, powered by this electricity. But suppose this, you say electricity is passing through thousands of bulbs in this particular room, let us say. One bulb get fused. You think that the voltage is gone? No. All other bulbs will continue to light. The same way, if you realize the truth, that is your realization. It doesn't go to somebody else. So, that is not the problem. So, coming back to Arjuna's question, see, the jivatva bhavana. So, Bhagavan, if you are the knower of the entire creation or entire bodies that is there, then you become jiva. Jiva means limited, finite entity, conditioned by the body. So, what is jivatva bhavana? Jivatva means identifying with the upadhi. You become limited. So, you become limited. So, you are no more infinite. You become finite. Is that so? Bhagavan said, no. I will not become finite. I will stay in my infinitude. Then how is this possible? So, every one of us, we have capacity to know. The knowing ability we all have. Whenever we say, I know certain things, means what? We immediately say, I know this particular object, I know this person, or I know this knowledge, I know this engineering, or medicine, or law, or accountant, whatever it is. But that limits you. That particular expression of knowledge, which is the product of intellect, which will limit you. Why? Because when you know medicine, you cannot know law. If you are an expert in law, then you don't know medicine. That's why a doctor has to consult a lawyer. A lawyer, when he has got a stomachache, he has come to the doctor. So he cannot treat himself. It's not possible. So the knowledge of the capacity of the intellect expression is limited. But think of the power behind the intellect. That which makes the intellect, gives the intellect intelligence. That principle of knowing, that is infinite. Every intellect, that particular principle of knowing is available, isn't it? That is gone. Intellect may be there. Intellect being inert, insentient, it has no capacity to know. The ability to know is supplied by consciousness. And that consciousness is infinite. And it is not affected by the equipment. Like the sun is far beyond the clouds shining. And if you keep a bucket of water, what happens? The sun gets reflected in the pool of water. Now, conditions of the bucket of water determines the condition of the reflection. But whatever happens in that reflection is not affecting the sun. The sun is always pure, exalted position. He's standing there. But whatever happened in the reflection, it is only with reference to their reflection. The same way, that Paramatma consciousness is reflected in the pool of thoughts called intellect. In that pool of thought, when it is reflected, intellect gets activated. Like the bucket of water starts shining brilliantly because of the reflection. The same way, buddhi also start shining brilliantly with the reflection. The reflection is limited, but not the sun. Same way, the Reflected consciousness is limited, but not Paramatma. So therefore, I am as Paramatma consciousness is infinite in every living organism. So here Bhagavan is immediately, Vada Kshetrajnam Chapibam Vidhi. In this he has said, that jiva, if you are thinking it is you are the knower, no, you are mistaken. I am the knower. So Tattvamasi is indirectly told here. That Paramatma is here in you, residing in your antaratma as knower. Directly brought. So we thought that every religion likes to keep gods far, far away. It is convenient for us. Whenever we want something, then we will seek him, then he will bless us. Then afterwards, we don't want him in our life. Because we don't want him to watch us all the time. That's why puja room mein jara bahar rakhte hain, jara. When puja is over, we'll cover it. Bhagavan dekhna nahi chahiye. No. Here you see the problem. He says, I am the witness of everything. Including your thought, whether the thought is good, bad or indifferent. When you are jealous of somebody or angry with somebody, you are planning to kill somebody or kill, not physically but mentally. And planning to destroy somebody, all these things, who is watching? Bhagavan is watching. In fact, he is the energy behind you to think that way also. It's interesting. So, Kshetrajnam Chapimam Vidhi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. In all Kshetras. Now Bhagavan says, Kshetra Kshetra Jnayor Jnanam Yatta Jnanam Matam Mama. And this knowledge, the Kshetra and Kshetra Jnayor Jnanam, this knowledge, what is Kshetra and what is Kshetra Jnaya, this knowledge alone is considered real knowledge. Yatta Jnanam Matam Mama, according to my opinion. Matam here is not religion. It is my opinion. According to my opinion, what is that? This knowledge alone is considered the real knowledge. All other knowledge, don't you consider knowledge? Yes, they are. But then the problem is, none of this knowledge will make you complete. Every other knowledge leave you incomplete. Is it not? But that is what we don't give importance to this knowledge nowadays. We give importance to what? Physical health. Because even children, when we are bringing up our children here, our most important thing that we think about is what? Physical health. So, good nutritious food, antioxidant, that and this and all that we carry. And we'll take them to some swimming class and then what a taekwondo and something like that, classes and all that. They should have confidence, self-confidence and all that. When somebody is bullying him in the school, he should be able to answer. That is all, the training that we give. Then we are interested in the intellectual development also. Go to the best school, always A plus he should get it. And if he is little bad or little short, we'll get a coach also, some help also. At home you do, if you cannot, we'll get some help and make him get the best education. And we want them all to go to Ivy League schools and learn. These are all very beautiful. But we forget there is one thing in between. Between body and the intellect, there is one equipment, is mind. We totally forget the mental growth of a child. With the result, what happened? The children grow up here like robots. If mother comes and tells the beta, I have this problem, that's your problem. Don't tell me. No, they are not interested at all to listen to your problem. If you have a problem, get some help. They will advise you, maximum. Yeah. They are not interested. Why? There is no emotion at all. Unfortunately, even in India also, modern education has become that way. Our Gurudev used to give a very beautiful example. See, this is an Indian scene. Indian schools, there are always inspectors go and inspect. So inspector went to one classroom and he was in a hurry. He said the teacher, I am in a hurry, I will ask one question. If the child answers, I will say everything is fine. So he sat there and asked, do you know who broke Shiva Dhanush? So it is Sita Swayamvaram time. Who broke Shiva Dhanush? Who broke the Lord Shiva's bow? I hope you all know. It is Lord Rama who broke, okay? If you don't know. Now the children didn't know this. So they were all silent. So this inspector got up from his seat and went round the class, stood in front of his child, asked, who broke Shiva Dhanush? He got up shivering, sir, I didn't break. Now, this inspector looked at the teacher. What is this you are teaching? Then the teacher said, sir, I tell you, I know this boy for the last 1 year. He is very honest. And if he say he didn't break, he didn't break. Now the inspector was furious. He went, he got out of the classroom, went to the principal office. And he was walking up and down because he was angry with himself. What is this? This kind of school, I am asked to inspect. The student doesn't know, the teacher doesn't know. And he went to the principal, he asked, principal asked, what is the problem? Sit down, we have some Coca-Cola or something. Thanda ho jao. Then he sat and he said, I can understand the student. I asked a simple question, nobody knew. The student doesn't know, I can understand, but the teacher also doesn't know. Then the principal asked, what did you ask? That who broke Shiva Dhanush? That's all I asked. That principal looked at him and said, whoever breaks, what does it matter? It's over. Now why you make a big deal out of it? We'll pay some compensation and forget about it. Now, what the inspector will do? He was going crazy. He just got out of that room, got into his bicycle or a motorbike and drove his vehicle to see his boss, superintendent of education. Now such the appointments are all political appointments. Nothing to do with education. But they are all appointed as superintendent of education. And he went and started giving a lecture to the boss. That we have to be very careful nowadays, you know, how to do, select our teachers, the training, that B.Ed and all that, how we should give, and what are the curriculum should be, we should revamp the whole thing, system, so that we will get the best teachers to teach our school, and if this kind of teaching is going on in our culture, what will happen to the future of our country and generation? Like this, he started giving big, big lectures. And the superintendent looked at him, what happened to you today? And then he explained, I went to school and I asked a simple question. The student doesn't know, the teacher doesn't know, the principal also doesn't know. Then he asked, what did you ask? Then I asked a simple question, who broke Shiva Dhanush? Nobody knew. superintendent looked at him, he said, let us appoint an inquiry committee. Now he's a political guy, so naturally, a political solution is always like that. Inquiry committee, you appoint. Whatever they are finding, we will act upon it. Now, this man got really insulted. His boss also doesn't know. So he resigns his job because he felt insulted that I had to work under a guy who doesn't even know this. It's an insult to his own intelligence. So he resigned his job and went to his house. Still he was furious inside, you know, because frustration. And he was walking up and down after coming to the house also. His wife asked, what happened to you today? And he said, I resigned my job. What do you mean, resign the job? It's a government job. You don't have to do anything. Still you get paid. Why you resign a job like that? Are you foolish or what? Then he explained the whole story. Finally she asked, what did you ask? So he said, I asked, who broke Shivadanush? Nobody knew. The student doesn't know, the teacher doesn't know, the teacher and the principal doesn't know. Finally, my own boss doesn't know. Then this wife of his, you know, looked at him and said, why do you ask difficult questions from Mahabharata? Now what will he do? I heard he took sannyas. The idea is that we never think about this education. And it is important to us. Why? Without it everything is going well. Why? What is the problem? It is not, nobody asks you before filling up an application for a job. They don't ask you, do you know yourself? Who am I? Do you know? What is Atma, Paramatma? If such questions were they asked, then they would have at least had some crash course somewhere. Swamiji ko bulayenge, usko jara 1 hour jara, we will discuss about it. At least something would have done. Satsang mein jayenge. और इंटरनेट में सब मिलते हैं आजकल तो सब मिलते ही हैं गूगल करेंगे नो इट इज नॉट नेसेसरी फॉर आवर नॉर्मल लाइफ इट इज नॉट नेसेसरी इन फैक्ट नॉर्मल लाइफ नॉट मच इंटेलिजेंस आल्सो नॉट नेसेसरी दे से ऑल दोज न्यूरो सर्जन इफ यू आस्क देम दे ओपन द स्कल लुक एट इट दे से इट्स ऑल वाटर ओनली filled up with liquids only. It's not necessary for normal, you know, life. Don't need that much of intelligence. But Bhagavan says, Kshetra, that alone, that knowledge alone is considered knowledge. Kshetra, Kshetra, Itniyor Jnanam. All other knowledge is apara vidya. There are two vidyas in Mundaka Upanishad. Bhagavan talks about paravidya and aparavidya. And aparavidya means lower knowledge. Paravidya means higher knowledge. And aparavidya is what? Including Vedic knowledge, okay? All four Vedas, Vedangas, all of them are considered aparavidya. And what is that paravidya? That knowledge gives this particular insight into your own self. That knowledge which give rise to this awareness that I am that Paramatma. That knowledge alone is considered jnanam. Matam mama, according to my opinion, according to Bhagavan's opinion. All right. Then, after having said that, now, he is going to give a little more elaboration on the Kshetra. What is Kshetra? தக்ஷேத்ரம் யச்சயாத்ருக்ச யத்விகாரியதஸ்சயத் சசயோ யத் ப்ரபாவஸ்ச தத் ஸமாஸேன மே ஸ்ருணு தத் க்ஷேத்ரம் தட் க்ஷேத்ரம் யச்ச யாதிருக் ச யாதிருக் மீன்ஸ் இட்ஸ் நேச்சர் வாட் ஈஸ் இட் லைக் வாட் இஸ் த நேச்சர் ஆஃப் திஸ் க்ஷேத்ர யாதிருக் ச யத் விகாரி வாட் ஆர் இட்ஸ் மாடிஃபிகேஷன்ஸ் யத் விகாரி யதஸ்ச யத் ஃப்ரம் வேர் தட் க்ஷேத்ர ஹஸ் கம் சச்சயோயத் பிரபாவச்ச வாட் இஸ் இட்ஸ் பவர்ஸ் பிரபாவா இட்ஸ் க்ளோரிஸ் ஸோ வாட் எக்ஸாக்ட்லி இட்ஸ் நேச்சர் வாட் ஆர் த மாடிஃபிகேஷன் ஃப்ரம் வேர் இட் ஹஸ் கம் வாட் ஆர் இட்ஸ் க்ளோரிஸ் ஐ ஷால் டெல் யூ அண்ட் வென் அர்ஜுனா ஹர்ட் ஆல் தீஸ் லிஸ்டிங் அர்ஜுனா தாட் தட் இஸ் கோயிங் டு பி அன் எலாபரேட் டிஸ்கஷன் Yeah, it's going to take a long time. What? Samasena Mashrunu. I will tell you briefly. I shall tell you briefly. So, what is, listen to me. I briefly explain to you what is that field is, Kshetra is, what is it like, how it is transformed, and the cause of such transformation. Modifications. And so, what is the knower and his powers also? Sachayo yat prabhavascha. What is the field of knower? The knower of the field and from his powers. Shrunu shrutva avadharaya ityartha. Now, before entering into that, Bhagavan is praising this rishi bir bahuta geetam chando bir vividhai prithak brahma sutra padaischaiva hetu mat phir vinischitaihi Shruti Phir Bahuta Geetam. Shruti means Vedas. Heard, Karna Paramparaya, it has come. All our Vedas have come down from Guru to Shishya. So Karna Parampara. So those Rishis, Bahuta Geetam, they sung in many ways, in varied hymns. Chando Phir Vivitai Prithak. So, Rishibhir Bahuta Geetam, Rishi sung in varied hymns, variously. And the Chanda, Chanda means Shruti, Vedas, Vividhai Prithak. This Vedas also talk about it differently. Separately, differently. Then, Brahma Sutra Padaischeva Hedumad Bhir Vinishchitaihi. Brahma Sutra Pada, it is stated in Brahma Sutra. Now, Brahma Sutra is a work of Bhagavan Vyasa, Vyasacharya. It is an analysis on Upanishad Vakyas. There are 555 sutras and whatever that you have to know, everything is included in that. The entire Upanishad teaching is given in the form of sutras. And not only that, the analysis Analysis means why this particular word is used in this manner. Suppose, for example, Atma Shabda. Why Atma Shabda is used? Some other Shabda, why cannot? Why Omkara is used? Why not some other word? Why Brahman the word is used? Why not some other word? So logically, it is proved and established, pointing out different schools of thought at that time, and established this is the right meaning. And Bhagavan Shankaracharya, Bhashyakara, has written commentary, unfolded the sutras, unlocked what is contained in the sutras. This is called Brahma Sutra. Padaischeva Hetuhu with Yukti Vinischidaihi. So through Brahma Sutra, Brahma Sutra Padehi, in the suggestive words indicated by Brahma Sutra, indicative of Brahman, and Hedu Matbihi, full of reasoning, Vinischidaihi, very decisively, very distinctly, very properly pointed out what is that, whatever that he has explained. What Yatshetram Yatchadadikcha Yadvigari Yadaschede Sachayojat Prabhavascha Dasamasena Vishnu. What is the Chetra? What is the Chetratnya? What are his modification? What exactly is the origin? All these things are explained in Vedas. I am not telling from my own head. So that is the beauty of Bhagavan here in Gita. So according to our Shastra, Hindus never accepted from a particular person any theory, however exalted it may be, unless it is sanctioned by the Vedas. So that is why Bhagavan is telling it. I am not telling from myself. It is given in our Vedas. Not only that, I am telling myself as my own theory opinion. It is given out by rishis, great rishis, who has done research on this. And Brahma Sutra has also approved it with logically, established it. So therefore, I am quoting them briefly for you. Having said that, now he is going to describe in two verses what exactly Kshetra. Gross aspect, 24 tattvas, and then subtle aspect, both. Then he is supposed to tell, after having explained what is Kshetra, he is supposed to give you what is Kshetrajna, isn't it? He doesn't give that. He suddenly take off to Jnanam. And Jnanam in this particular chapter means not knowledge. Jnanam means here vehicle of knowledge. If you practice this, it will take you to knowledge. So it becomes like an instrument of knowledge. So values, if practice these values, then your mind gains purity. With that purity, it will take you automatically to knowledge. So this is the next topic. We will see that tomorrow. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.